Acts chapter 9 this morning for the lesson, for the preaching. And again, we're just so glad to be here. And wonderful basket, wonderful room. Everything's great. We've had a great time so far. And I love your pastor, your preacher, Brother Angel. And I didn't tell him this, but back in 2013 was a conference, a youth conference he was in. He was preaching. And I remember one of his sermons there. I was a college student, and I remember one of the sermons there. I think it was entitled, Who's Got the Pen of Your Life? And it just really, really, really touched me and really worked my life and convicted me in my life. And so I appreciate your pastor. I listen to a lot of your sermons, brother, on the road. And there's a lot of sermons that have really helped me and help my wife and I. And so I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate Brother Angel. And so we're glad to be here. Amen. And I love this church. And so Acts chapter 9 this morning. And honored to be here this morning. And Acts chapter 9, I want to give you something this morning. Hopefully that will help you and will encourage you. And I don't know about you, but being born again, I sure hope you're born again this morning. I sure hope you know the Lord as your Savior. On August 2nd, 1999, I was a six-year-old boy. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I know I'm on my way to heaven. And I also know that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. And if you're born again this morning, He dwells inside of you as well. Amen. He's there to comfort. He's there to guide us. He's there to direct us. But He's also there to convict us. Amen. And I love it when the Holy Spirit just starts convicting me. Why? Because it makes me to be a better Christian for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to be, amen? And that's what we should all want to be, strive to be, amen? So Acts chapter 9, I want to give you three different passages of Scripture this morning, and then we'll move on with the message. And if you would, if it's okay, if we can stand, if that's okay, if you're physically able, if we can stand. And then after we get done reading these three different passages of Scripture, we'll head over to Psalm 119 and read that, and then you can be seated. No, that's good. Amen. We were in a church not long ago, and they had everybody sign up for all the seats that they were going to be sitting in. And I noticed that everybody, they had all the names on the pews and all this kind of stuff. And I walked up to the pastor and I said, man, this solved the problem of back row Baptists. All of them are sitting on the front row now. Here we go. Amen. And so we've been having a time with this whole COVID thing. And so pray for us about that, that we can, no bumps in the road or anything like that. But Acts chapter 9, verse number 20, and that's where we're going to be this morning, the first passage. The Bible says there, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. And what did he preach about Christ in the synagogues? That he is the Son of God. And this is the story right here. This is the passage of Scripture where Saul's converted. He meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. You know the story. We don't have to go back through that, but the light shone down from heaven. And I believe it was right there and then that Saul accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. I believe it. I believe it was right there and then. And then right after that, Christ gave Paul a calling. And he gave him a calling to be a missionary, to be a preacher, a minister, the Bible says. And the Bible says there in verse number 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. And we learn here from this passage of Scripture that Paul didn't just sit around and do nothing about his calling. He went immediately and was obedient and obeyed the calling that God had given him for his life. Now turn your Bibles over one page, Acts chapter 9, verse number 36. This is the second passage of Scripture. Here we see a different type of person. We saw Paul there. And here we see a different type of person right here in verse number 36. The Bible says there, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, and this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And pay attention here in verse number 39. This describes Dorcas very well. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Here we see a different type of person, the second type of person this morning right here in this passage of Scripture. And by the way, our churches are full of people just like this person right here, full of servants. And I'm sure that this church right here has many, many servants. Dorcas was just a simple servant. That's who she was. Now turn your Bibles over to the third passage and then you can be seated. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, just three verses here real quick. And then you can be seated. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And this next verse right here is convicting. And they departed from the presence of the council, complaining. That's not what it says. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled this: Three Types of Christians God is Looking For. Three types of Christians God is looking for, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing, and let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent over 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for our sins, that we can know for sure, Lord, the Bible tells us that we can know that we have eternal life. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that this morning that you just convict that individual and that they'd get that taken care of this morning, they'd accept your Son as their Lord and Savior this morning. Put a hedge of protection about us. We don't need Satan, the devil here this morning, that's for sure. Convict us, give us something, give us a blessing from the Word of God this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. May I go ahead and switch this cordless right here? Is that okay if I put this away right here? All right, great. If you turn your Bibles over there to Acts chapter 9, just for reference sake, in verse number 20, three types of Christians God is looking for. And the first type of Christian that God's looking for this morning is he's looking for the obedient type. That's the type of Christian God's looking for this morning, is the obedient type. We see there in verse number 20, the Bible says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. He went immediately. This last summer, my wife and I, we went over to Germany. My father came back off the field for a short furlough, and he asked my wife and I if we'd come over and fill in and pastor the church there for 3.5 months, and we thought that would be a great time of opportunity for us to do that, and so we went over there and did that. And while I was over there, I started a sermon series on the life of Paul after his conversion, what kind of a person he was before he accepted Christ, what kind of a person he was when he accepted Christ, and then after. And if you do any study, you understand that Paul went immediately and started preaching the Word of God immediately after his calling. And that's the obedient type. And that's what God's looking for. And God is looking for someone, even young people or middle-aged or old people, that will just absolutely heed the calling that God's given them for their life. He needs you and I to be obedient. Paul says, even in Acts chapter 26, he's standing there. You know the story. He's standing before King Agrippa, and he's giving an account for his life, and he starts to give his testimony of what kind of a person he was before he was saved and after he was saved. And he gives his testimony, and he says, listen, in verse number 19, he says, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul was not the disobedient type. He was the obedient type. That's what God's looking for. Young person, that's what God's looking for this morning. He's looking for the obedient type. I firmly believe that we have several folks, whether it be young, old, middle-aged, who are not obeying the call of God for their lives. Folks have their own plans, and folks have their own agendas, and their own desires, and their own wants, and their own ambitions, and their own desires in life, and they want to do their own thing. But the call of God is different for each and every one of us. I'm called to be a missionary. Your pastor's called to be the pastor of this church. Someone else might be called to be an evangelist. Someone else might be called to do something else. But it's something that you and I as Christians just don't want to do. It can seem a difficult task. What God's called us to do, it can seem a hard task, a hard thing. It can be a hard and difficult task, but listen, you know the story of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh, but God called him there. And listen this morning, listen, I can tell you from experience, God can and he will get your attention. He can. I have a burden for this about folks obeying the call of God for their lives due to traveling around to some of the churches that we've been in, 168 different churches. And I have a burden. I don't see a lot of folks anymore being called to the mission field. And as a missionary, I have a burden for that. I have a burden for Europe, and I'm not biased at all to Europe or Germany. I am. But I have a burden for Europe. Well, Europe's very cold spiritually toward the gospel. Very cold. It's a hard country. It's a hard continent. It's a hard place to go. Most missionaries go to Europe and they come back off the field about after a year and a half of being there. It's very hard. We need some folks that will just obey the call that God has given them for their life. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19 and verse number 20, that you and I, we are not our own, for you have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not your own, but you are God's. He's looking for the obedient type. He's looking for the obedient type. Not only this morning is he looking for the obedient type, but turn your Bibles over to that next passage that we were looking at earlier, Acts chapter 9 and verse number 39. God's also looking for, secondly this morning, God's looking for the servant type. God's looking for the servant type. Verse number 39, the Bible tells us there, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And that's who Dorcas was. Dorcas was just a simple servant. Dorcas was one of those folks that you don't hear very much about in the scriptures, but she was in the background. She was behind the scenes, and she was one of those servants. And I'm sure this church has many, many people just like that. And churches need folks like that, that are just simple servants. And that's who Dorcas was. Dorcas of Joppa was a servant. God isn't looking for talent. Listen, young person, God's not looking for the well-dressed, the well-sung, the well-spoken. God's looking for someone to sell out to the things of God and do exactly what he wants them to do and just be the simple servant type that God's looking for this morning. Are you a servant? Do you have a servant's heart? What are you doing right here at your home church? Can someone look at you and say, that's a servant right there. That's a servant. Job chapter 1 and verse number 8, you know the story. Christ asked the Satan there, he says, hast thou considered whom? My servant, Job. God's looking for the servant. You say, preacher, what's the best way that I can serve? Young people ask me, what's the best way I can serve the Lord? And I'll tell you the best way you can serve the Lord, it's in your local church. Why? I'm all about the local church. I believe Christ is all about the local church. Why? Because Christ bled and Christ died and Christ arose for the local church. He did. Traveling on the road, I mentioned this earlier, we see several churches. We've been in several churches and Brother Angel, we've been in several churches where the ministry is really just doing wonderful and just thriving. It's growing, doing a great job. And then we've been in some churches where you can tell there's just a little bit of a struggle there. And we're glad to be there just as an encouragement, help out. And boy, there's a lot of churches. By the way, I'll say this, this just came to my mind. There's a lot of churches that are in need of a piano player and a song leader. There's several churches out there like that. A great need for someone just to go and help out a church in the music ministry. God's looking for the servant type. That's what he's looking for. And we've seen several churches left and right who are compromising on several ministries that are absolutely vital to the local church. We don't need any more compromising on these ministries. And one of those is soul winning. You say, oh no, he's going to talk about, well yeah, soul winning. God's all about soul business, amen. This is missions conference. This is all about soul business. Soul winning is basically gone in most of our churches. Folks don't show up to soul winning. Now I know soul winning is a full-time job. You should be a full-time soul winner, a full-time witness all the time. This morning, giving a lady at the coffee shop a track. Sometimes it can be hard being rejected. But sometimes folks also need to show up to the church events, the soul winning events that are happening on Saturday and during the week. And Sunday school is something that's being compromised on. And the bus routes, the nursing home ministries, the teen class, junior church, sound system. You say, how can I get involved? Preacher, what's the best way that I can get involved? God's looking for servants to get involved with these ministries right here. And I know this church right here could use some servants. That's what God's looking for this morning. The servant type. And we must want to serve the Lord. It's not a duty. It's not a have to. We must want to. And if it's not there where a person, young person, listen, if you don't have a desire and a want to serve the Lord, then you might want to check the relationship and your fellowship with the Father. I know that in my teenage years, I'll mention this, in my teenage years, boy, I played it. I had everybody played. I was with a pastor not long ago, and he said, you know, I quit asking my children whether or not they had read their Bible and if they had prayed that morning. I said, well, what in the world do you ask them then? He said, I ask them if they've walked with the Lord and if they've spoken to him and he's spoken back to them. He said, it's a walk. If you have a walk with the Savior, you'll want to serve the Lord. The primary job of the local church, the primary job of this local church right here, Faith Baptist Church in Bourbon, Illinois, is to what, church? It's to evangelize the lost and dying world for Christ. That's the job. That's the job. Not only is Christ looking for the obedient type and the servant type, but thirdly this morning, Christ is looking for the courageous type. The courageous type. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we were there a little bit earlier. Acts chapter 5, verse number 40, those three verses, we read them earlier. We see the perfect example of the courageous type of person. A courageous Christian. When I was a teenage boy, I really enjoy the game of basketball. I do a lot of basketball playing still today. It helps me keep my weight down and all of that kind of stuff. And brother, this traveling, man, it'll put it on you. And so I really enjoy the game of basketball and ping pong and tennis. And I've just been always involved with sports all my life, soccer and all that kind of stuff. And my dad had a big influence on that, always got me involved with sports. And I remember on Saturday evenings or Saturdays, it was my day off, and I thought it was my dad's day off too, but apparently it wasn't, amen. He was getting ready for church the next day on Sunday, and he was in his office, and I'd always come as a teenager, and I'd bug him, and he said, son, you're bugging me. Get out of my office and leave me alone. And he said, he would always tell me this. He'd say, go grab a book, sit down and read it. Anybody in here like to read? We got some people in here like to read? No one likes to read here. There's my kind. All right, good. There's a few people. I can't stand it. I have a hard time sitting down, being quiet, opening. By the way, that can really hinder your walk with the Lord. Why? Because sometimes when you just need to listen, hear from the Lord, you got to sit down, open the Bible, and let it speak to you. I've always got to be doing something. So I'd come in his office and bug him all about that and everything, and he'd say, go grab a book. Sit down and read, and I couldn't stand it when he said that. So I'd go grab a book, I'd go into his office and look through all the books there, and I'd look for the thinnest pamphlet I could find on the bookshelf. And I'd be going through them all, and I went through one day, and I found a book, and it really caught my attention. It was a cover of a man's hand on the front, and it looked like the hand was in pain. It looked like the hand was in stress. And there were some chains hanging from the hand. It was a black and white picture, and it said, Tortured for Christ. And I thought, that's the book I need to read. And I pulled it out. It was written by a man by the name of Richard Wurmbrand. You may have heard of him. He's a very famous book, very famous person. And Richard Wurmbrand was imprisoned back in the early 1900s in communist Romania for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in Romania. You weren't allowed to do that in communist countries. And by the way, we have to pay attention and be careful in our country that we don't become like that. Communist countries is all about yourself. There is no God. You are your God. We have to be careful with that, that we don't become like that. Amen. And he was imprisoned for exactly what I'm doing this morning and what the preacher is going to be doing today. He was imprisoned for 14 years in communist Romania. And he talks about what happened to him there in his book, and he talks about how he just really truly believed that the guards there that were watching him and had put him in prison, that they were demon-possessed. They hated him. They hated the gospel. They hated the Bible. They hated preachers. And he said, but those stinking communists made a stinking mistake. He said they threw all of the preachers in one cell. He said we were all in there together, and he said we started singing. And we started preaching, and he said we weren't allowed to have a physical copy of the Word of God. He said, but we all had it in our minds, and we all had it in our hearts. And he said it was like we had the whole gospel right there. And he said, we started preaching and we started having revival. And he said, some criminals over here in this prison cell and some thieves over here and murderers over here started accepting Christ as their Savior. And he said, folks all around started accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we started having revival. He said, those guards hated that. They hated it. And he said, they would just come in while I was preaching and they would grab me by the collar of my shirt. And he said, they would drag me out. He said, they would drag me out to another room down the hallway, down the corridor. He said, I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming my way. He said, for hours, they would just have their way with me. And he said, they broke every bone in my body and they basically tortured me for hours there. And he goes into detail. I won't go into the details today, but he said, all my bones were broken. I couldn't even stand. And they would let me back down, he said, and they would have to drag me back to my prison cell. And he said, I could hear as they were taking me down the hallway, he said, as they were dragging me back down the hallway, he said, I could hear from a distance, he said, I could hear the other Baptist preacher preaching the Word of God, knowing full well what was about to come to him. And they would drop me off, they would throw me back in the cell, and they would grab him off of the bed where he was preaching and drag him down the hallway. He said, I would get just enough strength to sit up on the prison cell right there on the wall, on the stone wall. He said, I would just get enough strength, he said, and I'd just start preaching again. He said, we made a deal with the guards. He said, they beat us and we preached, so we were both happy. I'm talking about courageous type this morning. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for some courageous Christians. Courageous Christians. And I've got to finish up here. I've got to wrap it up right here. But Christ is looking for three types of Christians this morning. He's looking for the obedient type. He's looking for some servants. And then he's looking for some courageous men and women. Are you any of those? Can you say this morning that you're any of those? Listen, I know the rejection of the gospel is something that's really, 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 really hard to deal with. We deal with that a lot in Germany, in Europe. We get rejected from the gospel all the time. That's tough. That's tough. But God's looking for the courageous type. You want to know how you can be courageous this morning? We know we don't go through that, Brother Angel. Thank the Lord we don't go through that this morning, what that person went through back then, what preachers went through and martyrs went through back in the day. By the way, that's why I love this book right here. For the men and women that died for Christ, who died on Calvary for me. Amen. I love this book. I love the Bible. There is one way that you and I can be courageous, and that is if we just open this right here. It's really simple for us as Christians today. We just have to open our mouth and tell someone what happened to us, what happened to you. Just tell folks what happened to you. How did it happen for you? You say, I don't know how it happened. You need to get that taken care of this morning. Three types of Christians God is looking for, Pastor.